702. 702. On 92.7 and 106 FM. Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and on DSTV channel 856.
Exactly 9 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good evening from me, Ray White, in for Bruce Whitfield on The Money Show, which is brought to you by Nedbank. Looking at money from every angle leads to better money decisions. See money differently. Nedbank. Well, coming up on the program this evening, Spartan SME Finance has secured a 100 million rand investment from the SA SME Fund. So this means big things for small business. I'll be getting some details for you shortly on this one. Then our market commentator tonight is Greg Katzenallenburgen. Not a bad week on the JSE, still holding above that 56,000 mark, which is a good thing. And then later on, the best bits of the money show, followed by the brutal biz quiz, and all the producers busy this afternoon trying to outfox you. So that's the brutal biz quiz coming up a little bit later on. I hope you have been listening to the money show this week. I'd like to hear from you. Give me a call, 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567, or just SMS 31702. Or 31567.
702. 702. On 92.7 and 106 FM. Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and on DSTV channel 856.
Big story in Eyewitness News, and Finance Minister Tito Mboweni has filed papers seeking to review and set aside Public Protector Busisiwe Mkhwebane's findings and remedial action against Treasury Director General Dondo Mokgojane. You know the story. Mboweni filed the application at the High Court in Pretoria today after Mkhwebane found that Mokgojane was dishonest and guilty of gross negligence for failing to disclose he had a criminal conviction when he applied for the position in 2017. And I must admit, when this story first came out, we heard about this criminal conviction. A lot of us said, well, what is the conviction? What's it all about? Well, it relates to paying and being found guilty, or admitting guilt, and paying a traffic fine. That was back in 2011. However, the public protector has come forward now and said, you know, Tito Mboweni, there's been no disciplinary action against him. You have failed to implement my remedial action. And this has sort of raised eyebrows. So the Finance Minister's turned around now and said, you know what, I'm going to take you on review. Well, on the line is a senior lecturer at the Wits School of Economics and Business Sciences, Lumkile Monde. Hi, Lumkile. Good evening. Welcome to the Money Show.
Good evening, Ray, and to listening.
Lumkile, it seems to be very trivial. I mean, we talk about a traffic violation, and exactly, I hear it in your voice now. But does the public protector have a point? I mean, does it go down to principle, or is it just one step too far?
I think it's a step too far. Remember, you know, Minister Mboweni has to really make a decision around the impact of that fine on the capability of Mr. Mokgojane to conduct his responsibility. And in this case, you know, traffic fines, I'm sure I've got I've got a few of those which I've paid because I've accepted that I was guilty of speeding, you know. So in that respect, usually what we'll do is really just a slap on the wrist that, please, you know, you're in a fiduciary responsibility. Stop doing this and move on and focus on the job at hand. And the job at hand for Mokgojane and Mr. Mboweni is saving South Africa from a downgrade and ensuring that we can bring back accountability in terms of how money is being spent, and work very, very close also with the central bank, which is also a subject of the public protector, Mr. Mkhwebane, around that investigation that was done in relation to Bank Op in the late 80s and the 90s.
Mm. Why do you think she's doing this then? Is it part of a collective? I know she named 50 institutions all in all, but it just seems to be a little bit odd.
I think some of us were skeptics, like me. Between the Reserve Bank and Treasury. And when I link them, my assessment is that these two institutions have been holding ground in a very difficult period of South Africa's history. And in many cases, they've pushed back on interventions which may undermine the credibility, I mean, the ability of the institution to effect that crucial mandate. In the Reserve Bank case, all of us remember that the mandate is very, very clear, is price stability. And in the case of the Treasury, is similarly to ensure that the allocated funds are spent in line with our constitution and various acts, including the Public Finance Management Act. So when the public protector does attack those two in trivially on issues, the first issue was around bank op, which is an issue that happened years ago, and there's been various commissions that have sent and judged on the matter. And the recent one around Mr. Mkhajan is really, as I said, a slap in the wrist, and it raises the question whether is there a continuation of an attack on these two institutions to undermine their independence and the role that's supposed to play in an economy that has been undermined by corruption and malfeasance, and the hold fort in attack in that front.
Yeah, I hear what you say there, and there could be and may well be that plot sort of people in the background still taking shots at Treasury, taking shots at certain sections of government. But I also go back and, like you said, thinking about the nationalisation of the Reserve Bank, and you remember what the public protector said about that. Is it a case of just maybe not knowing her grounds, maybe not knowing her job?
Well, in fact, that's been the subject of a parliamentary hearing last week, which in fact decided not to proceed around a vote of no confidence of some sort, or really removing her from the office, or whether she was fit for the office that she's responsible for. I think really for us, really for many South Africans, is that given the past 9 years, we worry when institutions that are performing a responsible and a constitutional mandate are being forever tested for really very precarious matter like the traffic fine and admittance thereof, when in fact there are really bigger issues which I mentioned earlier around why Mr. Mboweni has come back to try and assist us to bring stability into finances. But more importantly also that, you know, to an extent that violation related to his work in the Treasury, then all of us will be raising issues around Mr. Mkhajan's capabilities and ability to effectively perform in his duties that Mr. Mboweni has hired him for. And in this case, this does not relate to that responsibility at all.
Yeah. Just sort of parking that for a second and looking at S&P Global today and changing the outlook for Eskom to favorable, to stable. It seems like some of these green shoots are coming through.
No, remember the unbundling. I think most of us are expecting more. I know that currently we are all sketching around what that means. Most of us understand that you're going to have three business units, and those three business units are going to have to show themselves that they are worth our back. If they're not worth our back, a decision has to be made whether to bring in private players or to sell them. So that decision is coming, and I think S&P, I think, and others are going to follow because they realize that, you know, the pursuit of breaking them up, as the president has announced, and the Minister of Finance has come forward with some support between 3 billion this year and the next 9 years. That is a very strong signal that, yes, we're committed to keep it going. However, we're going to have to make some serious decisions. And I'm hoping that this decision will be made after May, because we're in a voting period, and I think the ANC will not want to annoy its alliance partners. So it will toe the line. But I think after May, we're going to see the real implementation and restructuring reforms which are required in this economy to get us going, to create opportunities for the millions of Africans which are outside the labor market, and reduce the dependence on the social wage, which is not sustainable if the economy is not restructured, because we're getting deeper and deeper into debt.
Senior lecturer at the Wits School of Economics and Business Sciences, Lumkile Monde, great to have you on The Money Show. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Good evening.
All right. right, and here's some good news for a Friday. South African small business financier, that Spartan SME Finance, has secured a 100 million rand investment from the SA SME Fund. Now, this is to anchor its 600 million rand debt financing fund. The funding will be immediately made available to Spartan SME Finance to boost its lending to SMEs, that small business. On the line is the CEO of a Spartan SME Finance, Kumaran Padiyachi. Kumaran, hi, good evening. Welcome to The Money Show.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you on. I mean, just take us through this model, how it works, what's involved.
So just let me tell you about our business very briefly to set the context. We do debt financing for established growth-focused SMEs. It's principally specialized asset finance, working capital finance, and growth finance. And so we are traditionally funded by international and local debt institutions. What we've done by partnering with the SA SME Fund is create a separate fund, which we call the Spartan SME Fund. And it's a 600 million rand fund. And the SA SME Fund has put an anchor investment. And that's helped catalyze the additional 500 million. And over a long period, this will be able to be recyclable, and we envisage funding and quite a number of SMEs per year with this fund alone.
Well, that's good news. It really is. Okay, who specifically will benefit from this? I mean, what are the conditions of borrowing? Do only certain businesses qualify?
So we don't do startups. Ideally, the business should be around about 5 million rand annual turnover and above, because the funding, the debt funding we do ranges from mostly from 500,000 to 15 million rand with an average of about 4 million, I would say. So they need to be able to offtake that for the expansion. Where we come in is that we supplement a traditional funder. So we want them to be able to show affordability to pay back. Often they don't have the type of collateral that a bank requires, and that's okay. We have ways of assessing that. But we need them to be beyond the startup phase. You know, that's the important thing. We're not focused on that market.
Yeah, so if someone wants to become involved, what happens? What do they do then?
So if someone wants to inquire about funding, they go straight to our website, www.spartan.co.za, and this explains how it works, what we finance, who we fund, how the process works. And we've got a lot of fintech tools like the online application widgets and mobile apps and things like that that makes it easier for them. We find entrepreneurs are often applying or inquiring at 2 o'clock in the morning or 11 at night, something with the capacity. Yeah.
What? Okay, just hearing what you're saying, and you have to be very, very careful. And you said no startups. What sort of reconciliation process do you have, though, just to make sure that the money is being spent correctly? In other words, do you then monitor these businesses? What sort of involvement do you have?
So when they apply, we ask for a set of standard information, and then it goes to a credit and analyst team that assesses it. And eventually, what's unique about us as a debt funder, after the credit analyst team has assessed it, the entrepreneurs, they make it to that stage, they are interviewed by our credit committee. Our credit committee meets on a Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday from 2 to 6 in the evening. We just come off one now. And we physically interview them, almost like a, not quite a Dragon's Den type of thing, but something like that. And because we don't believe in business plans, but we interview them on the business plan. And then of course, we agree on the terms and conditions. The whole process is typically 10 days from the time we have all the information. Yeah,
that's quite something. So, you know, you can actually get your business, and the turnaround time is great. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a follow-up. Yeah, so you were saying?
We've been around for 37 years, but the last 8 or 9 years, we made the decision to be exclusively focused on the SME market, because it's quite a difficult market to have a product fit that's appropriate for them, and worst of all is to have the process fit, you know, because they want a timeless turnaround. How do you balance, reconcile that with adequately assessing your risk? That's quite a difficult thing to move fast and assess your risk at the same time. So we could only do that by going all in on this market and specializing on the SME.
You've been going, like you say, for more than 3 decades. Have you had any bad apples that you've encountered and sort of set yourself, right, we need to learn from this?
For sure. You've had a number of bad apples, and that happens over that period, and that's how any funder gets smarter and builds up and gets to master a certain segment, right, or a certain market. And but it hasn't been so much that we've still survived for 37 years.
Yeah.
Historically, since we've gone into this SME market, what is very interesting, our bad debt write-off has only been 0.25%.
Sure.
Touch wood. In this economy, I'm a bit worried, but but that's what it's been through this intense process, yeah, by specializing in them. Yeah.
That's quite something. Well, here's to another 37 years. CEO of Spartan SME Finance, Kumaran Padiachi, great to have you on The Money Show. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Ray.
The Money Show. The Markets.
27 minutes past 6 o'clock. Our market commentator tonight, Greg Katznallenbogen, director at Sanlam Private Wealth. Greg, great to see you again.
Thank you. Ray.
Now, let's start. We'll get to the markets now. S&P Global and Eskom. I mean, your thoughts on this. It's lovely to get a stable outlook. But is that the full story?
Well, they upgraded, so that's good news. But at the same time, S&P said they didn't think that for the 2020 financial year, the $23 billion that the government had set aside would be sufficient. And as that news came out, the rand fell quite sharply on that news. So they think that the government will have to pony up more capital.
Doesn't end, does it? Right, the JSE, not a bad week. I mean, we're still above that 53,000 mark, which is not bad at all.
No, not bad at all. It's been driven a lot by resources. And of course, you know, the rand has been toing and froing, but as it gets weak, it's you know, good for the rand hedge stocks. But also, we've seen some of the big heavyweights also move. Besides the mining stocks, the dual listeds like British American Tobacco. So it's been a pretty good week, and things are looking up for emerging markets. So we hope that we will be the beneficiary of some of that tailwind.
It's China and that trade agreement that we spend months talking about, and Trump and all the rest. It seems to be changing. It seems to be coming right.
It looks like that they're nearing a deal. Information coming out of Washington is that the U.S. and China will have some sort of agreement soon that the two presidents will probably sign in some you know, a PR exercise. But the bottom line is that the tariffs have been suspended, and that's good news. But at the same time, China's economy has been struggling, and the credit growth jumped up sharply in January. We will see in the next few days if that followed through in February. But if that's the case, then you can definitely say that China is stimulating its economy and reflating, and that will be excellent news for emerging markets, emerging market currencies as well. So hopefully you'll get some benefit. But of course, we have SA-specific news that moves the currency also as well.
Yeah. What else is driving the markets then? Because it's not just that.
Well, you know, after a terrible, terrible quarter, in the fourth quarter of the year, the markets have globally recovered in the last 2 months, and not the U.S. market. It looks like that it will test its all-time high as well. So it's just optimism. Growth had been, you know, slowing down, but I believe that a reflation out of China, the U.S. economy is still doing pretty well on many fronts. There are one or two sectors that might be lagging, but on many fronts. And people believe that global growth is close to bottoming in the cycle and will steadily grow.
Yeah, bring
that it doesn't mean that in the next couple of years you won't see things slow down sharply and maybe even a recession in the United States.
Oh, that'll be different to what Mr. Trump believes. Some movers and shakers from today, also those doing badly. I see MTN had a bit of a horrid day.
Well, the thing with MTN is that, you know, the market was, I mean, their earnings were up quite sharply, around about 80%, but it came off an extremely low base, because the low base in the 2017 had been affected by the one-off cost, that the massive fine they had to pay. And then this year there was also another one-off cost, was the $53 million. But there's a big overhang in terms of the fact that the $2 billion that the Nigerian tax authorities are claiming, that case hasn't been resolved yet, so that's right. Still hangs over MTN's head. So it's but it's good news that, you know, some dividends are starting to flow out of Nigeria. But one has to be careful, because countries like Nigeria, Angola, another oil exporter, you know, dollars are in short supply. So that could change quickly.
Some of the retailers I noticed doing well today. Woolies, Truers up a little bit. And of course, they lost their way back. So this is good for them.
Yes, I think it's just, you know, people bottom fishing, really. But I don't think that the challenges that the retail sector has been resolved. So, you know, when prices get pretty low, you do find people coming in looking for bargains. But I still think in terms of the results of these retailers, you know, the prices are, they're pretty fairly priced.
Mm. Just one last thing, the PMI, the APSA PMI down again today. Look, that is also tucked into Eskom as well, but it's not good news for manufacturing.
It's not good news for manufacturing, and generally for the economy is not in a great state. But, you know, we have South Africa imports a lot of things. Our manufacturing base is slowly being eroded, and that's one thing the government needs to give serious attention to, is, you know, rebuilding our manufacturing base. But it's not good, and especially not with a backdrop like we have with a weak economy.
Yeah. Market commentator tonight, Greg Katz and Alan Bochen, director at Sanlam Private Wealth. Great to have you on The Money Show. Greg, thanks so much for coming in. Really do appreciate it. And that brings the time to 6:30.
The Money Show is brought to you by Nedbank. Looking at money from every angle leads to better money decisions. See money differently. Nedbank.
On your next Money Show, Bruce will be back. So tune in as he asks lead singer of the Polytones, Con Morby, all about money in the Make Money Monday slot. In the business book feature, Bruce will then find out what fund manager Paul Theron is reading at the moment. Also the CEOs of Bidvest and Edcon and the big business and finance of the day.
702 on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and on DSTV channel 856.
Just quickly, some of your SMSs as well. The law cannot be bent, Ray, because we like Dondo Mukhajane. He should have acted honestly when completing the application form. This is trivializing his dishonest conduct and will open Pandora's box, says Cabello. But Cabello, a traffic violation. If it was a serious offense, but a traffic violation, I don't know. I really don't think so. I sort of question quite a few things that the public protector has done and is sort of questioned. If we have state capture, we have bigger fish to fry. Why are we worried about that? The other one says, dear Bruce, the upgrading of S&P of Eskom's credit outlook from negative to stable in response to the initiators announced in the budget and SONA is a positive development. Hopefully, Moody's will take the same view and keep our rating at investment grade. That one is from Daniel. Yes, Daniel, I hope they will. We cannot be downgraded as a country. Once again, we cannot go further down. And hopefully the other big guys like S&P Global will not stop just with Eskom. They'll go up and they'll go up and they'll make sure that our national sovereignty rating is actually coming back into credit. Let's see. Hopefully that does happen. Keep your SMSs coming on 31702. Time now for the best bits of the Money Show. And you need to listen to this because we've got the brutal biz quiz coming up shortly. And it's just for fun tonight. It's all about having some fun. But some of the clues are buried in the best bits of the Money Show. And it was quite a busy week with companies publishing their financial results. So do yourself a favor, download and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or wherever you can catch your podcasts of the Money Show. So one of the highlights this week was the fight between two business lobby groups. President of Business Unity SA, that's Sipho Phetsana, wrote a scathing open letter to chairman of the Black Business Council, Sandile Zungu. He explained to Bruce Whitfield why he took a swipe at Sandile.
They broke away from BUSA in order to set themselves up as a proxy in business for the Zuma agenda of state capture and corruption. And as part of that, they were systematically deploying, in most instances, incompetence that presented themselves as professionals in state-owned entities and and government positions and et cetera, with disastrous consequences. One of the most preeminent example of that is Claudia Motsoeneng, who didn't have matric, who became a senior executive in as big an institution as SAPC. And you expect him to be able to read the financial statements and the balance sheet and be able to give direction there. And of course, we now live with the consequences of those decisions, mm-hmm. and they manifest in other areas. So the offense that one feels is that now, as a result of all of that mess, black professionals are blamed.
Right, we do believe in the right of reply. So Sandile Zungu, he's the chairperson of the Black Business Council, did not take this lying down. We spoke to him. He called Pachana a stooge, among other things. This is an insert of his response.
I never sat on any committee that advises on the restructure of the SOEs. The character that he mentions, Claudia Motsoeneng, have got absolutely nothing to do with me, have got absolutely nothing to do with the Black Business Council, for that matter. At the timing of Sipho Pityana, is very curious because he's obviously at the helm of a rival apex organization called BUSA, who organized a few weeks ago some Mickey Mouse summit. And he knows that our summit is a success. Already it's the first day, more than 500 delegates present, Minister Pravin Gordhan, Premier Makhura, Minister Zulu, Thokozile Diza, among others, who made a presentation there. Tomorrow's going to be yet another successful day. And we'll have President Ketting that with a presentation at the gala dinner. He's very jealous at the success that the BBC is becoming. And he feels threatened with his organization that we're still in the limelight. Now he wants to take the headlines away from our success. He is not succeeding. He will not succeed. Shame on you, Sipho Pityana.
And then this week's Make Money Mondays was Darren Wackett Simpson. He is the host of KFM's Breakfast Show. You would have remembered him from 947. He shared some of his first jobs stories.
Yeah, I was to pack shelves at Pick and Pay from 14. And then I just knew, you know, when you could see what was surrounding you. And, you know, we were short of a lot of stuff. So I was like, well, I'm going to not be short because pocket money stopped and all that. So yeah. I thought, well, I'll make my own money. And that's what I did. And then I ended up working at a butchery. And I didn't really enjoy that because we had carried these big hind quarters. And I wasn't...
And it smells, eh?
Ugh, and I wasn't strong enough to carry the hind quarters, you know? So then I ended up working on the tills. And then I was... only when I was about 16, I decided that I actually wanted to do radio. When I was 15, actually. And then I was like, okay, we see, when I go into something, I go in 100%. So I started hanging around at Capital 604 in Durban and literally beat down the door and I said, hey, I want to work here. And they said, well, you're too young. So I just hung around and I got to know the DJs. They walked in and I just used to hang out.
You and Aki Anastasio had the same start in life. He also made a pain in the neck of himself in Anderson Street at 702 Studios many years ago. Yeah.
You know, they thought that I was, eventually the DJs thought I actually worked there because I was there all the time. And then they said, do you want to come sit in the studio? And they led me in the studio and then that was it.
And you never left?
And then I became a producer. And then I started making demo tapes in the other studio at night doing my homework. And then eventually there was an opening on the weekend. And they said, can you fill in? And I did. And it's one of those stories.
And you didn't mess it up?
No, I didn't. Absolutely not. And then I went on to weekday graveyard, 1 to 4 in the morning, while I was writing matric.
How was matric?
Not great.
And those are the best bits of The Money Show.
The Money Show.
The Brutal Biz Quiz.
So I hope you've been paying attention because it's time now for the Brutal Biz Quiz. It's just for fun tonight, but I want to see you can stump us. In other words, get all the answers to all the questions. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions. You have to be the last person standing, and then you are the champion of the Money Show for this week. So all you have to do, 011 is dial 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. Our first question tonight It's actually an easy one, just to get you in, you see. It goes like this. With which e-retailer did Takealot.com merge in 2014 to improve scale? I'll tell it again. With which e-retailer did Takealot.com merge in 2014 to improve scale? 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567.
The Money Show.
The Brutal Biz Quiz.
011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. The Brutal Biz Quiz, just for fun tonight. But I think I've got you. I really think I've got you. The first question is, with which e-retailer did Takealot.com merge in 2014 to improve scale? Let's see if Nick has got it over here. Nick, good evening. What is the answer?
Good evening, Bruce. How are you?
Hi, not too bad. It's Ray speaking, but what's the answer?
So the answer is Kalahari.net.
It is indeed. Well done, Nick. Nice one. You're quite right. Bruce spoke to Kim Reed, the CEO and founder of Takealot.com, this week at the Shop the Future Summit. He says the company is yet to break even. Okay, come on, Nick. I want you to win tonight. In fact, I'm going to ask you three questions, okay? Question number two. Okay. What is the nickname of the breakfast show host Darren Simpson? What's his nickname?
Sorry, can you just repeat that again, yeah?
What's the nickname of breakfast show host Darren Simpson? Darren Simpson. What do they
Darren
call him?
Simpson.
He's a funny guy. You know what I'm saying?
There we go.
He wasn't so hard. He was this week's Make Money Monday's guest and talked about his humble beginnings, which you would have heard now in the Best Bits of the Money show. All right. So here's a, okay, this is a brutal question. Which company, Nick, was founded Which company was founded by Koos Becker back in 1986? Which company? They've been listing all over the JSC. Which company? You watch them on a Sunday night. Yes. You don't know.
Watching the Sunday night? No, I don't have a clue of that one.
Okay. Oh, no. Come on. I thought that was an easy one. Okay. Because, come on, guys. I've got to give it away. I've got 2 minutes to go. I want to make you the brain of the entire week, okay, when I'm talking about which company was founded with a team led by Koos Becker back in 1986. Koos Becker, which company? 1986. They've been on the stock exchange lately. Come on, Shiraz. In fact, you know what? I tell you what, Shiraz, if you get this, Shiraz, you are the brain of the week. You're the brain of the week. Shiraz?
Thank you. It's multi-choice.
You're very close. You're really, really, really very close. I don't know if we should give it to you. You know, it's not multi-choice. No, it's not. No, I'm sorry. It's not multi-choice. It's very close, though, but it's a brutal biz quiz. I've got to be nasty about this. Koos Becker, 1986. Which company was founded at that time? And let's go to... Come on, Anne. Anne, save me over here.
Hi. It's Koos Becker, isn't it?
Yeah, but which company? Which company? Koos Becker.
Mnet.
Yes, it is indeed. MultiChoice, okay, was formed out of the Mnet pay TV company. MultiChoice listed this week with a market cap of more than 40 billion rand. And you have saved us tonight. You're the brain of 2019. I'm telling Bruce.
Oh, lovely.
From
do
now
I get
on,
a box of chocolates or what do I get? Nothing.
You're just the brain. And it's an absolute honor because it's of the entire year.
No chocolates.
If you come to the 702 or Cape Talk studio in the next 20 minutes, maybe. That's all I can say.
Maybe.
All right. Yes.
But it's nice talking to you anyway.
Thank you, Anne. Have a great weekend.
Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye. That's Anne. Oh, there we go. You see. I have to be brutal about it, you see, because it's the Brutal Biz Quiz. Interesting SMS here says, the ratings agency, especially Moody's, are being far too soft on South Africa. This encourages and perpetuates the disastrous economic policies of the ANC and SOEs. So that's Richard in Sandton. And here's a very interesting one. It says, hi, Ray. I have been a director of international investment companies in four different countries, all top class for over 20 years. They require periodic declarations from directors that have no criminal convictions, and they specifically exclude traffic violations. The public protector should take note of this, and that one is from Sydney. Sydney, thank you so much for your SMS. That does wrap up the Money Show.